Hey, how's it going? Welcome to the James McDonald Podcast, where we say love to live to love. That's our focus, that's our passion, and we invite you to let God's Word have that impact in your life right now. Here's Pastor James.
We're studying through the Psalms this summer, and this is actually a psalm of calm. How can you calm your heart when you're inside, you're a raging storm? How can you get to this? And actually, that's the battle. The battle is not to be taken under by the waves that are going on in my life. How can you get to that? Well, you remember that the book of Psalms is a book of songs. They were sung in worship 3,000 years ago. And so the one that we're going to look at tonight is a song. It's a victory song. Every bit as much or more than Unstoppable or We Are the Champions. We're turning to Psalm 46 in your Bible, please. Psalm 46. And this is just 11 verses. And I'm going to give you three things to sort of keep in mind. So right now, I have this. Okay? And I want to teach that to you from the passage. Let's put the title up again, Sharon. Finding God in a Crisis. Okay? And let's start with this. The first thing is presence. In a crisis, you don't have what you need by yourself. Crisis is the demand is greater than the capacity. The need exceeds my ability to contribute. I'm not smart enough to solve this. I'm not resourced enough to, I'm not experienced enough. That's why we're teasing the young guys. You know, it takes a few lumps to figure out, I don't want to get smacked anymore. Someone say amen. All right. And the sooner you can figure that out, the better. And we're here to help you get down that road. And anyone else who listens to this teaching. So the first thing to do is to think about God's presence. This is a victory song, like I said. And the beginning of the victory song is this. God is our refuge. A refuge is a hiding place. A refuge is a shelter. A refuge is a place of safety. And if you've ever felt like, I'm in my car, I can't go anywhere. I have no place to be that is safe and good for me. Right. And in that moment, God is there with you. Amen. And God sees you. And God brought you here to this place. Or God caused you to tune into this teaching. And God is a refuge. This is the key part. Notice the rest of the verse. God is our refuge and, what does it say? Strength. And by his presence, he brings his strength. Now, notice, what is the strength that God gives? You see it in the text? Look at verse 1. Psalm 46, verse 1. Come on in right here. Perfect. That's there. That's great. Psalm 46, verse 1. Okay? The strength, notice, is God himself, the creator of the universe. Look, listen to this, brothers. God does not dispense strength and encouragement like a druggist fills a prescription. God does not say, here, take some of these. God offers himself, and that's enough. God offers himself. Do you understand? And how many men, how many addicts, how many people hearing this are judging God harshly because he has not resourced their struggle, but they're wanting him to give them something. They don't want God himself. Like the bratty child who comes home from college and wants money, but not the parents. When you're close to people that want what you can give them, but they don't want you, that's as bad as it gets. I got two grandsons here right now, and I told them they had to listen to the whole message with their Bibles open. They're doing it right now really good. I may or may not reward them if they're successful. But they need to understand that I don't just want to give to them. I want them to want me, not just the resource. Does that make sense? And in the very same way, we want God. We don't just want what he can give us. And as long as we see God as a divine vending machine, gimme, 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 I don't want you, I just want what you can give me. You know, we're made in God's image. The fact that that's repulsive to us comes from the fact that that's repulsive to God. Okay, so when the songwriter writing the champion song says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble, look into the place in your heart where you say, I don't need God. I'm going to find my way myself. And that's why the struggle continues, because you reject presence. Psalm 46:1. Remember his presence here. Remember his presence and be steady. In him, the scripture says, we live and move and have our being. The arrogance of a man to say that there is no, the Bible says that a fool has said in his heart, there's no God. And the arrogance of trying to live apart from the God who made you, as though having God in your life is like, you know, choosing hors d'oeuvres at a party. Well, I think I might have one of those, but I really don't want one of those, but I really would. Okay, and in the center of that, God stands as the creative universe, and we marvel at the arrogance of a human being to believe that they can live without God. And you are blessed indeed, because if you've made your way to rock bottom, then you know what it is to be massively under-resourced, to turn to things that cannot possibly solve the problem for you. And why do you think at the center of the blue book is God? Amen. Came to understand that, turned my life over to. And we say here at Rock Bottom that Saturday night is about giving, because you know when you go to those meetings, they never talk about this God. They say God as you came to know him, but they don't spend any time talking about who that God is. Am I right? That's what we're doing here. And if that's a big part of recovery, is coming to know God in a deeper way, that's what we're working on right now. And as I've said many times, we don't require the men in our houses to believe, but we really do pretty much require them to expose themselves to belief and to listen into the thinking of men who believe and trust in God as a very present help in trouble. And those men we're inviting to come along and to grow in what it means to believe. So that's the first verse. Now the second one, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth, so now he begins to describe the craziest things that could happen. Though the earth gives way, that would be like an earthquake, right? Yeah. You can sit here right now looking all tough like you do, brother, and be like, I'm not afraid. What are you afraid of? Nothing. Or how much would you be afraid of if Jesus Christ was sitting with you in your vehicle? The one through whom the worlds were formed. The one who died to pay for our sins and rose again. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even if the earth is melting down, even if the mountains are being moved into the sea, even if the waters are roaring like tsunami, though the mountains are trembling. In other words, no matter how it gets, how bad it gets out here, I have nothing to be afraid of when I have God's presence in here. Can I say that again? No matter how bad, come on in, find a seat, you're welcome. No matter how bad it gets out here, anywhere, all right? I don't have to be afraid if I have God in here. Someone say amen to that. Amen. A very present help in trouble. Here's the second thing, and it is, so there's presence, and then there is peace. Because God is present, he brings to us peace. And peace is a calmness. When God is present, the circumstances are shouting that we should be sideways and very troubled and can't sleep. But when God is there, we find ourselves. Has anybody experienced a surprising calm because of the work of the Lord in their life? We're like, I should be so troubled right now, but I'm just, it's going to, right? It's going to be okay. It's going to be, I should be so upset, but I just know it's going to be okay. That's God's presence in your life. Right. Philippians chapter 4 calls that the peace that passes understanding. It's like when you have it, people are like, dude, why are you not sideways, man? Why are you not freaking out? Don't you need an answer by Thursday? I do, but I've committed it to God. I sense his presence in my life. I have peace about that. That's the picture here. Notice, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. That's the river. Peace like a river. Has anyone ever heard of that chorus? I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river in my soul. Like a peaceful river. There is a river whose stream make glad the city of God, the holy inhabitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. There's his presence. He shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. I mean, there it is again. It's that peace, peace that passes understanding. Years ago, I shared the story with Bobby recently. Two painters were competing to depict a picture of peace. Two artists, two painters. Not like a Peter the painter, my kind of painter, but an artist painter. Anybody here artistic? I saw something that Mike drew at the bottom of the stairs here at their house. I think that was interesting. That was kind of a locker room thing. I got no problem with that. I just say you can decorate your house the way you want to when you get there, is what I would say. But that picture was a little much. I didn't have any problem crumpling that up. But it was locker room stuff. It's fun stuff. And men, listen to me, men should not be shamed about sexual things. Men have been way too beat down and made to feel guilty about sexual things. God made us to be in pursuit of a woman. And by the way, nobody should be dating anybody during their first year here. Amen. If you're dating somebody here, I'm just telling you right now, you're lying to her. Yeah. Right? If she's convinced that you're a good plan right now, there's been some lying going on. Right? Am I telling the truth? Right? You're not in any position to be making any promises to any girls. Okay? Come on, Kathy, say amen to that. She said amen. Now, and my two about to go to high school grandsons, you also are not in any, come on, someone say amen. You're not in any position to be thinking about any girl at this time in your life. You don't even have your own stuff figured out yet. All right. See, it's sneaky how I keep working them into the message, right? But God gives to his children a peace. And here's four elements of peace in Scripture. First, there is peace from God. Okay? And it's a wish. It's a prayer. It's a kindness. And the Scripture talks about peace from God in many of Paul's epistles at the beginning. And then there's peace with God, that all of us is born separated from God and at hostility with God. And you're here, and God is over here, the triune God, and there's a big separation. Isaiah says that your sins have separated between you and your God, and your iniquities have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear you. And this is where Jesus Christ came to die on the cross and to bridge the gap between us and God. Okay? And so that's called peace with God, a way back to God. My great-grandfather wrote, I have it at my home, I have it in his handwriting, and I have his Bible. My great-grandfather, okay? And he was born in the 1890s and 1880s. And he wrote in his Bible when he was 40 years of age, he wrote, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God." And he put his trust in the Lord, and his life was changed. My grandfather was the first one converted in our family, and his father, my great-grandfather, was a hard-drinking, believe it or not, doesn't sound very bad now, violin-playing, country music, Saturday night carousing, you know, early 1900s wild man. A lot of stuff that we wouldn't maybe think was that wild now, but he was far, far, far away from God in his heart, but he experienced peace with God. So there's peace from God and peace with God. There's peace on earth that the angels announced at the first Christmas. And then there's this final thing for people of faith. There's the peace of God. That's the attitude of heart, the calm assurance that what God is doing is best. I've been teaching that sentence for 40 years. That phrase, peace, the calm assurance that what God is doing is best. Do you have that? Do you have a calm assurance that God is in control of your life and that what he's doing is best? It's a really, really awesome thing, and that's what's being promised here in this text. There is a river whose stream make glad the city of God. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. Those are just awesome, awesome phrases about God's nearness and about God's peace. So I was telling you about these two painters, artists, that were competing to depict a picture of peace. And the one artist drew a boy on a lake as calm as glass. And the boy in the boat was sitting at the front with a fishing pole. And the pole went down slowly and went through the water. Can you picture it? But it didn't even break the water. It was glass, and the boy was sitting there, and the artist said, "That's peace." And the other artist said, "Not at all, not at all." He drew a roaring, roaring waterfall, and the water cascading down and crashing off the rocks, and a branch jutting out from the cliff about halfway down the 100-foot fall. And down at the end of the branch was a nest. And in the nest was a mother robin sitting on the edge, dropping worms into the mouths of her little babies, while this waterfall roared and crashed around them. And he said that real peace is not calmness on a calm, sunny day. Real peace is the calmness portrayed here, that even when things are loudest and scariest out here, I can have a peace in my heart. I love that. So remember his peace and be stable. And you're like, "Yeah, this is all nice, man. God with me and peace, but I got a big problem I got to get solved." All right, perfect. So now power. Remember his presence and be steady. Remember his peace and be stable. Last point. Are you with me? Remember preachers say that all the time in DJs? Are you with me? All right. Power. Okay. And these are all interacting as well. Remember his power and be still. Here it is. Verse 6. The nations rage. Is that true today?
Yes.
Call out the names of nations currently raging in the world. Israel. The U.S. Palestine, Russia, Ukraine, China, North Korea, what'd you say?
Iran,
sure. They're not as loud as they were.
That's right.
I'm very pro America here. If that's a problem for anyone, you know, let me know or don't. I love being in a room where people understand you. Here it is. The nations raise, the kingdoms totter. Check this. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. Are you seeing that in the news today? He utters his voice, and the earth melts. I'm always blown away by the guys who don't have time for God. Do you have any idea what you're rejecting? When I get up to heaven, I'm going to tell God a thing or two. I'm like, step away from me. Don't stand near me and say stuff like that. The Bible says that it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And men who live as we have lived are closer. We're now at 4, the number of men who joined us here with the same hopes you have, who are now dead. Doesn't get a lot more serious than it is right here. And that's why we kind of laugh a lot of the time, because you got to laugh to take the pressure off a bit, right? But this is life or death here. Either I'm going to get whole, and I'm going to get healthy, and I'm going to get brothers, and I'm going to get free, and I'm going to get what goes in the middle here. Anybody know what goes in the middle? God. That's where I get His presence, brings me peace, and brings me power. Let me show this to you again in the text. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter, Psalm 46:6. He utters His voice, the earth melts. The God of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob. Abraham had a son named Isaac. Isaac had a son named Jacob. So this is the Jewish people. The God of the Jewish people is our fortress. Then he says, if you're not impressed with God yet, come behold the works of the Lord, how He has brought desolations on the earth. Again and again and again, God tears down kingdoms in opposition to His kingdom. Look, He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with the fire. All of the heathen nations that were coming against the nation of Israel, and God was causing them to be defeated. And if you want to understand why some people are very pro the nation of Israel, it's because God's word is pro the nation of Israel. And God Himself makes promises about His own people, where all this began and through whom the Savior came. And the Bible says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. God promised Abraham as he founded the Hebrew people. He said, I will bless those that bless you, and I will curse those that curse you. That's what He said. And a lot of Americans believe, you're looking at one of them, that we have a duty to the nation of Israel. And one of the reasons why God has blessed America in such a profound way for hundreds of years is because we've never turned our back on Israel. Now, I'm not saying that Israel is righteous. I'm not saying that what they do is just. I'm not saying that at all. I think there's some things they do that are very unjust, all right? But we would never turn our back on Israel, because the Bible teaches that someday there will be a wholesale returning of the people of Israel back to God. And then Christ is going to return and the whole end is going to come. What's happening in the newspapers today could not be more relevant for what the Scripture says is coming.
That's right.
And so we would do well to wake up and pay attention. The time is short, it appears. There is nothing still that has to be accomplished in the Scriptures for Christ to return. Unlike so many things that happen that we thought would never happen, and then when it happens, we're like, I didn't think this would ever happen. And then it happens. And then it's too late to do anything about it. That's why the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to turn to the Lord. Today is the day to open your heart. Come, let us reason together. Your sins have been like scarlet. They can be white as snow. Amen? Amen. We turn to your neighbor and say, we can be forgiven. We can be forgiven, and we need to be forgiven.
Amen.
We all need to be forgiven. And look at, God bears no rivals, okay? I'm almost done. Do you understand this sentence, men and others who are listening in? Do you understand this concept that truth is intolerant? Truth is intolerant. Truth, by definition, is intolerant. Give me a truth. Give me something you know is true.
That's wood.
That's wood. Right. But this beam here is wood for sure, or it might be rubber. We'll have to test it. That sounds like rubber a little bit. Okay, well, why don't we just all get along? Why can't it be rubber and wood?
It's not the truth.
Because it's not the truth. There's 2 + 2 is, I forgot.
4.
But sometimes it's 5.
Never.
How often is it 5?
Never.
All right. So if Jesus Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no one comes to the Father but by me, how many other ways are there? Right, hold up the universal symbol for how many other ways there are. Okay, there are no other ways to God. And that's why when I walked over the other day onto the porch and I saw this. You have the picture? There it is. I saw this sitting on the porch here. This is an Eastern religion, false religion. Meditation is good. I got no problem with yoga, okay? But this is a false religion. This is a religion of what's called self-actualization, that through personal thought, you can achieve nirvana yourself, okay? That's a false religion, okay? And I preached here for all last summer on 2 Corinthians 10. We are destroying arguments and every lofty thing that raises itself against the knowledge of God. And the time period between when I saw that on our deck and smashed it on the wall was less than 3 seconds. Okay? Can we see the picture of it? There it is. There it is. And I destroyed that immediately. Then Crazy Mike, because he's the one of the nicest people that Jesus ever put on this earth, Mike goes out and sweeps it all up. I says, Mike, where's that thing I smashed on the deck? He says, oh, it's in the garbage. I says, get it out again. So is it still laying on the deck now?
I think so.
Yeah, and why did I do that? Why did I do that? Because, look it, we love you. We are for you. You can come at your own pace. I saw him offer you a Bible and you say you didn't want it. You can come at your own pace. It's okay. I know what some of you are wrestling with and how you are thinking about. Is God real? Is Jesus Christ really the Savior? I know. We want to be a good example of that. But anything that opposes God, go back to the picture. Anything that raises itself against God, anything that truth, by definition, is intolerant. Amen. And if 2 + 2 = 4, that's getting smashed against the wall. Okay? And Jesus Christ declared himself to be God. Now, if Jesus Christ isn't God, let's go golfing. I tell you, I wouldn't at this stage of my life. I have no human reason to be here. If it wasn't God's grace for me, I don't need to work another day in my life. Nobody's paying me to do this. I'm here because something has happened in me through the God who made me through his son, Jesus Christ. And men who are in a very desperate situation need that. We are here to oppose. My wife said this once to one of my children. I can never support what I know will hurt you. I can never support, what a loving thing to say. I can never be for what I know will hurt you. That's not love. We're not playing a game over here. And we're all aligning ourselves with the truth that when I experience God's presence, I will know God's peace and I will see God's power. Say that with me. When I experience God's presence, I will know God's peace. And I will see God's power working, okay? And that's how this text ends. I did want to say that the guy that this involved who did this, always remember that problems are either typically ignorance, rebellion, or discouragement. Sometimes we do stupid things we just don't know, right? Sometimes it's not ignorance, though sometimes it's rebellion. We know the right thing to do and we're like, stick it, I'm not doing it, I'm gonna do whatever I want to do. So sometimes it's ignorance, sometimes it's rebellion, sometimes as though it's just discouragement. I know the right thing and I've been trying to do the right thing, but I'm starting to lose traction a little bit because of this other stuff that's going on. I'm kind of discouraged. Everybody with me on that? Now that all our legal stuff is behind us and God is vindicating us in awesome ways, after 6.5 years, the garbage that we've been through, and we've won every single legal battle, they're all behind us. I'm so grateful to God for that. But now I have, amen. We're here, okay, not for your grins. We're here for your betterment. And if that means being the bad guy sometimes, I don't enjoy it. But if it has to happen, I will say that you two new guys who have come in both look like you could take half the men in this room. And so these are my two guys now. They're going to walk around with me. If anybody gives me grease, except for Sean, because he could take most of us. If either one, anyone gives us grief from now on, these two guys, you guys got to have my shoulders, okay? All right. All right. Okay, everybody look up here. It's fun to tease around, and I think some of the people outside of our ministry enjoy looking in and seeing what's going on between us. And what's going on between us is real, and it's growing. And even when you graduate, we love you more and want the very best for you. And you have been faithful to me through the darkest season of my life that I am now coming out of, and I'm not going anywhere. Everything I have now in time and ability and leadership and everything is going to be brought to bear upon Act Like Men Ministries, and we're going to be growing faster and doing better than we've ever done before. I couldn't be more thankful for Chuck,
and his leadership. Kathy and I couldn't be more thankful for Sharon, and the I love that everyone calls her Miss Sharon. I think that's awesome and super respectful of her. But she does a ton of work for us, all of us. And so let's first be thankful for these people that serve us. Let's thank them. And now let me just pray that prayer of presence and calm and power. Lord, we see in Psalm 46 where it says, "Finally then, in the midst of all the turmoil, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations." And we pray, Lord, for you to be exalted at our in our ministry and at our three houses and in the lives of the men according to your will, God. We pray for you to be exalted. We pray for false gods and false thoughts to be torn down. We pray for truth to replace error in our thinking. Forgive our lying ways and grant to us truth, Lord, as your word says, in the inner parts. Make us men of truth and men of integrity. Make us true brothers who lean upon one another, and most of all, who lean upon you, God, our very present help in trouble. Thank you for this scripture, and thank you for the remainder of this day to grow in faith and to grow in love for one another and for you. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. 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 Thanks, everybody.
So I hope that you've been really encouraged today through this clear teaching from God's Word. I just want to thank you from the whole team for listening to the James McDonald Podcast, where the learning is for loving, loving God, and for loving others more and more until we see Him face to face. Thank you for standing with us. Your prayerful support is our lifeline to continue this gospel partnership, and it makes podcasts like these possible. Check out jamesmcdonaldministries.org. Hey, thank you again for listening.